Okay, sweet friends, are you ready for our last session? Well, you guys, this session, I believe, just wraps it all up because it gets down to the nitty-gritty, the thing that we are called to do, and that is to fight the good fight. Yes, you guys, our castles are under fire. Our enemy is assaulting, he is hitting, he is out to destroy. We can't avoid it. We can't ignore it. We can't hope that it'll just go away because it won't. We have a very real enemy. We have very real hits. Our enemy is out to destroy. He is out to uncover and reveal our vulnerabilities to the world. He is out to exploit our weaknesses. He keeps on weakening us hit by hit, blow by blow, attack by attack. He is out to destroy our castle and bring it to ruins. Why? Because our homes are a picture before our culture. They are a light in the darkness. He wants to take us, our children, our children's children, and our children's children's children, and on, all captive. As a matter of fact, that's what it's really all about. He is out to steal, kill, and destroy. Well, so far, the keys that we have looked at in this series are that we need to know our enemy, that our enemy is not our husband, it's not our children, it's not our mama, it's not our mom-in-law, it is not even the other woman. No, our enemy is the devil. We've looked at scriptures and we have studied who he is, we've studied his tactics, his tools, and his attacks. And I believe by this point, we have definitely proven that we have an enemy. We have an enemy who hates us, who wants to destroy our marriages, who wants to destroy our relationships with our children, who wants to destroy our homes. He wants to destroy our castles. And he will do anything within his power. But of course, we have studied his power is limited. The end is already determined. In fact, he is defeated. We have studied exactly what God has to say about him and how to take care of him when he is firing upon our homes, our marriages, our families. We've also looked at who we are. We have looked at how God has called you. And he has called me to be virtuous women, women who are called, who are armed, and who are equipped for the battle. We've also looked at how we can build our homes so that they are prepared to weather the assaults of the enemy, how we can fortify our homes so that our homes are prepared for the enemy's assault. We have also looked at the call that we have to be a guard of our home, a keeper at home, a keeper of our home. Now I want to dig into the final session because we are down to the final thing that we have to remember. And I say we have to remember this. Yes, we have to remember that we must fight the good fight. My sweet friend, when I say that, I'm not talking about we have to fight in our homes. Far too many people do way too much fighting inside the home. And again, I mentioned this all throughout the series that the enemy loves to have a home divided because it can't stand. And that means that we are divided when we are fighting it out, when we are doing things to destroy one another, to hurt one another, to fix one another. I believe that it's at that place that we are really tearing our homes down with our own hands. No, we are called to fight the good fight, not to fight with our spouse, not to fight with our children. They're not our enemies. Not to fight with our mother-in-law or our moms or even the other woman. We are called to fight the good fight. And that means that we are called by God to fight the enemy. We have to always remember who our enemy is, that he is real, that it is him. He's behind stuff in our homes. He's behind the assault upon our homes, upon our families. He's not playing. He's not going to go away and just quit. It's not going to just stop, sweet friends. And the real victory comes when we know what to expect and we are not just prepared, but we dare to fight the good fight. It's not just knowing and having this nice, noble thought that we have to put on the full armor or that we have to that we have to fortify our homes, that we have to be on guard. It's not just a thought. And the only way that we are going to really let this message and this series really make a difference in our life is if we will dare to get up and fight the good fight. We can't talk to him. We can't reason with him. We can't bargain with him. He's not going to just leave us and our families alone. It's not going to happen. He wants to destroy. He wants to mar our castle, our influence that we have with our culture. He wants to leave our castle in ruins. And he wants nothing more than to take you and your family for generations into captivity. He's not going to stop. He's not going to quit. You've got to soak that in. I believe that it is time for mighty women to rise up and defend their home, to fight the good fight. This is not leaving it up to your knight in shining armor, sweet friends. Yeah, our husbands are called to fight the good fight too. But my sweet friend, I hope and pray that after this series that you see that you are too. I kind of envision it. This is how I see this. I envision it as Harold and I getting each other's back, being back to back, and us both wielding the sword. And we are both fighting the good fight. We're not fighting each other. We're not after each other. We're not hurting one another. Instead, we are here to fight the good fight. We're here to defend our castle. We're here to defend our children. We're here to defend our marriage. My sweet friend, we have to know that this is a fight that is going to require action. It's going to require action on our part. The enemy is not going to stop until our homes and our marriages are in shambles. He'll wait us out. He'll wait till we are not suspecting it, till we are off guard. You're never going to get to a point where he's going to stop. He is sneaky. He's cunning. He is not going to stop because his only goal is to destroy you. His only purpose is to steal, to kill, to destroy, to devour, to frustrate, to mar the beauty, to take captives, to keep his prisoners of war, and to keep his ground. Don't think for a moment that settling for less than the best is going to exempt you from his attacks. Don't think that if you fight the good fight today, that you're going to be able to be off duty tomorrow. It isn't going to happen. He is relentless. He is not going to stop. I know far too many people, and I know I've mentioned this in the series, who really think that if they don't do a lot of stuff, like if they back down and they don't do a lot of stuff, like being in ministry or doing a lot of things for the Lord, if they don't do anything, maybe if they just get under the radar, that the enemy will leave them alone. Can I tell you, he's not a respecter of persons. He doesn't care what you do. The only way to get him to leave you alone is, again, to resist him, he'll flee. To worship, he'll flee. Are you hearing me? To get the word out, he's going to run the other way. You have to step up to the call and you have to fight the good fight. Otherwise, he's going to be right there pounding, pounding, pounding away. Are you hearing me? You have to fight the good fight. You cannot settle back in your comfort zone and think that he is going to just go away, that he's going to stop. He's very sneaky. And even sometimes when you're not even seeing what he's doing, he's pounding away on your children. He's pounding away on your spouse. That's why you've got to be in this fight. You have to fight this fight. Can I tell you that even if you think, okay, this is not worth me taking back ground. This is not worth me fighting him. Sure, Cindy, we've got some stuff from our past, but it's hard for me to get up and get going and fix this stuff. I think I'm just going to sit still and I'm just going to catch my breath. Can I tell you, that's exactly where Satan wants for you to be. He wants you captive and in shackles. But can I tell you, even at that place, you may think I'm getting out of the warfare, but you're not. He still abuses. He still tortures. He still goes after those you love. You cannot sit back and just let him do whatever he wants to do. You have the key. You can be free and you can help set captives free. In fact, you can help to make sure that your children learn how to fight the good fight. You can help them to learn how to take ground from the enemy. What a legacy. So, sweet friend, today is the day to break free, or maybe you are free. You need to help set other captives free. Take back all that the enemy has stolen for generations and generations, and you can have that castle that is a light upon the hill. But of course, you must fight. Not your spouse, not your kids, not your parents, not your friends, not people that you think are assaulting your castle. No, the enemy. So, what does it mean to fight the good fight? I'm going to share seven things that you have to remember. First of all, you need to know that you are called to fight the good fight. You're a mighty warrior. That doesn't mean that you just sit on your throne in your little castle. It doesn't mean that you just sit back and you get busy with daily affairs. It means that you know that your daily purpose is to be a warrior. It's your job. It's your calling. It's why God has given you everything you need, and you are armed and equipped for battle. Why does he spend so much time in the Word teaching us about battle? Why does he go to such efforts teaching us what our tools are, what our weapons are, what our tactics should be? It's because we've got to remember it daily. I guess we could learn from our soldiers in our military on this one. They know that all the training, all of the equipping, all of it is for them to fight the good fight. They have a mindset, and that brings me to the next thing. You've got to get a warrior mindset. They have a mindset that they think like a warrior. They don't think like a whiny wimp who just hopes that the enemy will quit and we could all get back home. You don't hear any of that out of our warriors. You don't hear any of that out of our soldiers. You may hear that on CNN, but our guys, they are ready. They have a mindset that has equipped them for the battle. They have a mindset that carries them through and helps them to stick it out and to fight that fight and to never quit, never back down. Oh, we need that mindset. As a matter of fact, I am really thinking that I'm going to come back and do a series on the warrior mindset because I believe that this is key to being able to fight the good fight. We can't have this mindset that our culture has. Our culture thinks, well, if you're just nice to people, if you just pay them off, they'll go away. Can I tell you? You have a very real enemy. You better be ready to fight. And I'm talking about never quit, never back down, never get off guard. If you do, that's when the enemy's going to rush in. He is going to take ground you have never imagined he could take. You can't get off guard. You have got to get that mindset, guarding your mind, thinking like a warrior, keeping your focus at all times on the commander and fighting the good fight. You know what happens when we get our mind and our focus off of the commander? The Bible tells us all over. Think about Hebrews 12, 1 through 2. Think about Matthew 11, 28 through 30. These are just some of the passages I've shared this week, this series. But think about 2 Corinthians 4. Think about all these different passages. The thing, we see what happens. We quit. He ransacks us. He brings thoughts and he brings ideas and presuppositions that are difficult for us to sort out. We can't make it without focusing on our commander. We'll find ourselves in shackles. We'll find ourselves in depression. We'll find ourselves in total chaos because the enemy will ransack us. We've got to get a warrior mindset. Also, the third thing is to stay ready for the battle. Don't let your guard down. You can't afford it. Remember, we're castles under fire. If there's one lesson we can take from the castles, it's that they always had someone at different points on guard. The reason that castles were even constructed the way that they were was so that they had an advantage. The enemy couldn't see that they could see them, but they had the advantage of being able to see from all different angles. I love it. I remember years ago reading some books about castles with my children, and it is amazing how some of them were built to where you could see out and the enemy couldn't see in, and they were always on guard. They always had people on guard at every angle, all about the castle. That's why they're constructed the way that they are. My sweet friend, we can't let our guard down. You may say, well, that's that nice person. Well, that nice person is capable of sin. Everybody is. I remember years and years ago, I worked for a dentist, and he was absolutely wonderful. A man that when I come into work, he played Christian music. He was a deacon in his church. He was an absolutely great guy. I went to school with his kids, and they were great kids. They were amazing kids. They were smart. They were godly. I'm telling you guys, I loved it. And going to work was like going to church every day. I loved my job. Well, one day I went into work and our office was surrounded by DEA and the FBI and all of the city police. I mean, it was a mess. And, of course, I was trying to work. I was working in a dental office. I was trying to work. We were trying to keep on working, but it was, I didn't know what was up. All I knew is that there was no way that, and I don't know what my mind was actually thinking. I guess this shows you my thoughts, but I was thinking there is no way that he has ever used drugs. And I was thinking maybe they were there for drugs. Well, lo and behold, let me just tell you what happened. They were coming and they had search warrants, and he had a little office downstairs in his office that I thought he dubbed tapes for his church audio ministry, but instead he was making child pornographic videos, and he had been taking pictures of children. He had, he was quite a very sick guy. He was a very, very sick guy. You guys, I couldn't tell it. I have always been able to spot things, and I pride myself on having great discernment, but I never suspected it. Let me tell you, I know a lot of people in that town that never suspected this man could ever be capable of doing that. In fact, there are people that were in total denial that he would ever do anything like that. And I can tell you, I know my husband, he has been in the district attorney's office there, and he knows the case. He said, yes, he was involved. Can I tell you, you would never suspect it. I know hundreds of families that never in a million years would ever suspect it because he was such a good guy. I'm not saying to be paranoid, but I am saying to be on guard. You cannot tell what people really are capable of doing. The enemy loves to come in and to come in sheep's clothing. And I'm telling you, you can't let your guard down for a day. I have a friend of mine that was talking to me the other day. She is so distraught because her daughter was abused by her brother. Sexually abused. For years this went on and she had no clue this was going on. You guys, The devil loves to come into our homes. That's not the only way. Sexual abuse is not the only way the devil comes in. He comes in so many different ways. That's why we have got to set guard. We've got to fortify. We've got to be on guard all the time and stay ready for battle. You can't let your guard down. And I'm talking about there are going to be pressures. I remember with my children growing up, we had a lot of pressures for the kids to spend the night or go spend the summer with the grandparents or whatever. It's not that we do not love and trust our family, but we were charged with the responsibility for guarding our home and guarding our children. And we knew God did not want us to let that guard down. It meant that I was tired an awful lot as a mom. But you know something? I have no regrets now that my kids are grown. And I don't know who needs to hear this, but you need to be on guard. You can't let your guard down. Don't let the attack surprise you. You need to be ready. The enemy comes in, and he comes in ways you don't expect. And you know, I would venture to say, by the way, that some of you need to remember this with your daughters and your sons. You need to dare to be overprotective. And the reason I say that is because it makes a big difference. Those ideas that people have, they have they directly affect the choices our children make. You've got to be on guard. You've got to stay ready for battle. Also, you've got to stay strong. I love, 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 love the Army's campaign for being Army strong. You guys, I love it. Go to the Army website and just look it up. It's really, 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 really good. They talk about that they are not just looking for guys with brute strength, like body strength, because body strength will fail you. It can fail you. What they're looking for, they're looking for soldiers who will be strong in spirit, soul, and body. Because the soldiers who are strong in spirit and soul, they can make their bodies do what their bodies never imagined they could do. We want to be Army strong. And if there's one problem I see in the body of Christ, it would have to be that many churches stick to training us to be spiritually strong. And some, I think, even drop the ball even on that. They have the idea of being spiritually strong that it's about being just saved. But that's not the only strength that God gives us. He gives us daily strength. He empowers us daily. And many churches even today do not have very much, if any, teaching on being strong in mind. I think that's why we see a lot of depression. I think that's why we see a lot of defeated Christians. I definitely believe that's why we see a lot of people who are still battling strongholds 15, 20, 50 years down the road. Are you hearing me? We need to be strong in spirit, soul, and body. And by the way, I mentioned body. I am Southern Baptist, and I can tell you guys, we are known for our food. Our food is good. You have anything go on in your family, you're going to probably, and you're a member of a Baptist church, more than likely you're going to have food. You're going to have, a lot of bad food. And I'm not talking about tasting bad. I'm talking about bad for you food. We're fat. I am confessing it myself. But you know what? The word calls us to be strong in spirit, soul, and body. We've got to stay strong. If the enemy can get a way in, and he will get a way in through our health, he'll get a way in through our minds. He'll get a way in through our spirits. That's how he loves to get in and to defeat us. We've got to stay strong, Army strong. If we don't, the enemy is going to take us where we don't want to go. He is going to ransack our castle, and he's going to take us captive. We've got to stay Army strong. Also, we've got to expect to keep on keeping on. We never, ever quit. You know, when Matthew went to boot camp, it's interesting because, you know, all through the years, with whatever we do, God has always given me a word of encouragement, something I could stand on during the situations that I was facing. And when Matthew went to boot camp, this one passage just jumped out of the Bible for me. And I quoted it to him many, many times. In fact, before he even left for boot camp, I copied it and wrote it in a letter for him. And it's 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You can find this passage in verses 16 through 18. And I love it in the Message. You've probably heard this passage in other versions, but listen to it in the Message. It says, "So we are not given up. How could we? Even though on the outside it often looks like things are falling apart on us, on the inside, where God is making new life, not a day goes by without His unfolding grace. These hard times are small potatoes compared to the coming good times, the lavish celebration prepared for us. There's far more here than meets the eye. The things we see now are here today, gone tomorrow. But the things we can't see now will last forever." Sweet friends, we right now may see nothing but rubbish. We may see nothing but warfare. We may see nothing but the battle. But my sweet friends, we don't give up. We keep on moving. No matter what it looks like on the outside, it may look like that you cannot ever rebuild that relationship with that child. It may look like you can never rebuild that marriage, that it's destined for divorce. But my sweet friend, can I tell you, no matter what it looks like on the outside, no matter if it looks like it is falling apart, on the inside, God is at work. And you can't give up. You just can't give up. You've got to keep on going. He will give you grace day by day by day for whatever you face. That is our gift. We are empowered by His grace. His grace will help us make it through the battle. His grace will help us make it through the hard times. If we're even sitting there in the midst of a big mess where the enemy has got us in ruins, or he's even got us in his camp in captivity, can I tell you that the hard times that you're facing, getting back up and getting moving again, are not anything. They're small potatoes compared to what is on the horizon. It is worth it. You know, people ask me all the time, but what if your marriage is in rubbish? My sweet friends, I hope you know, my marriage has been there. It has been in total mess. We really didn't think we had any option but divorce. As a matter of fact, we were talking it. We were planning it. And God shook us both up and said, "No, no, no. You don't quit. You don't know what I've got on the horizon, what I'm working for. This right here that you're going through is small potatoes compared to what's about to happen, because I'm going to rebuild from the rubbish." And God did show us how to rebuild. He came along and did what we could not do. I want to tell you, there's nothing in me that could forgive my husband. Not for a relationship with another woman. I'm telling you, I had nothing in me that could forgive him. But God gave me that grace. God gave me that mercy. God gave me that forgiveness when I had none. Yep, you can do it. You got to mess with your child? My sweet friend, I know that too. My children are amazing kids, but both of them are human. I'm human. There is inevitably always going to be a conflict. There's always going to be somewhere. If you're not there yet, it's coming. And I don't want to be a bearer of bad news, but it's just that the devil loves to ransack. He loves to hit our castles. My sweet friend, your enemy's not your child when it happens. They're not. You need that unfolding grace that God has, that grace that says, get back up and get going again. That grace that says, I'm there. Even though this breaks my heart, I'm there for you. That grace that covers them and sets a perimeter. Even when you're exhausted and when you feel like that the enemy has won. That grace that gets you into that enemy's camp, rescuing the captives. Yes. And they can very well be your own children. They can very well be your own husband. But it's that grace that God gives you. It's worth it. You don't quit on each other. You know, I see families all the time that when the going gets tough and there's a conflict, they don't speak to each other for a year, you know, a few months, a year, or whatever, years. That's not the way we do it. That's not the way you do it. Instead, when there's hard times, you stick it out because it's worth it. There's far more here than meets the eye. We never, ever quit. The things we see now are here today and gone tomorrow. You got to know it. You're going to get through this thing or that thing. You're going to if you stick it out. Because God is at work and you can trust Him even in the craziest of situations. You can trust Him. You know, I remember growing up and I remember hearing older people that stood on the passage of Proverbs 22:6. And they stood on that passage that because they were going through a time where what they saw was not the good stuff. And they stood on that passage that said that if they trained up their children in the way they should go, then when they're old, they would not depart. You know, I've taught a lot on that passage, but can I tell you here, this is saying the same thing. It's saying that, hey, what you see is not really all that's there. God's doing something that is worth you waiting it out, not quitting, not giving up. So we're not giving up. How could we? Even though on the outside, it often looks like things are falling apart on us, on the inside where God is making new life, not a day goes by without His unfolding grace. These hard times are small potatoes compared to the coming good times, the lavish celebration prepared for us. There is far more here than meets the eye. The things we see now are here today, gone tomorrow. But the things we can't see now will last forever. It is so worth it. Just expect to keep on keeping on. You keep moving. You keep going. You keep fighting. You keep on keeping on. It's so worth it. You're going to have to keep that vision. You keep moving on. Don't look at what you see right around you. You keep on keeping on. And then, don your beret and set the captives free. You know, this is more than just about us. This is more than just about what we do and what we are about. This is about us also getting out there and setting captives free. This is about us stepping up to the call and not just taking back what the devil stole from us personally. It's about us joining forces with others and helping others to be free. To be free. It's not just about our castle. It's about us joining forces and helping others to defend their castles. You know, that's what I'm doing here with this series today. I want for you to know that, yes, whenever I began this, and I was talking about where all of our different families are, where our castle's at, the condition we're in, I have to tell you, I know from the bottom of my heart that I know that my home and my family, I couldn't be happier with where we are. We're in a very good place. But you know what? That's not where it stops. We are called to be a light and to get out there and join forces and fight the good fight with others, helping others to be victorious. Now, for those of you who know, my son is a Green Beret, so I have to include Don Your Beret and Set the Captives Free. But let me mention this. Do you know what the Green Beret's motto is? The Green Beret's motto is to set the captives free. Set the captives free. That is their job. That's their duty. That is their calling. My sweet friend, this is our calling too. I love the heartbeat behind those who are our Green Berets. They really have a heartbeat that, hey, until there's no more captives, we're here. We're here to fight the fight. I remember the night that Matthew and I had a very important talk. It was a talk where I finally came to understand why he was doing what he was doing, why he wanted to be a Green Beret. I remember I just asked him. I said, "Help me understand this. Help me understand why you want to do this." And he said, "Mom," he said, "what if it were me? What if I were the one out there that the enemy had in bondage? What if it were me? What if I were the one that he had captive? Wouldn't you want for there to be someone like me to rescue me from captivity?" I stood there and I really had nothing more I could say. "Well, yeah. You know, if it were my child that had been taken captive, I would definitely want someone who would lay down their life and who would go in and dare to rescue my child." And that is exactly what the Green Berets do. Their job, their ultimate job, is to rescue the captives, to set the captives free. You know, our job as Christians, it's not just to get saved and to get a fire insurance policy out of hell. That is not the limit. That is not where God stops. God has called us so that we can go out there and be ambassadors, be representatives, and be good soldiers. Green Berets, setting the captives free. One of my favorite passages is Isaiah 61. I remember when I first ran across this passage, it was so funny because every day during my quiet time, I try to journal neat passages that really mean a lot to me. And I try to find something that I can copy into my journal. And I had this, it seemed like God was just saying the same thing to me again and again. And I got to looking over my journal, and guess what? He actually was. I had been copying this particular chapter into my journal over and over, and I had it in all kinds of different versions, and I just love it. But I want to read it to you because this right here is our call. This is our call. Not just my call, but your call. You're going to love it. As a matter of fact, I do suggest, hey, go look it up in a lot of different versions and copy it into your journal. You're going to love it. It says, Isaiah chapter 61. I'm going to read it first from the New American Standard Bible. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and freedom to the prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of peace instead of a spirit of fainting. So they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Then they will rebuild the ancient ruins. They will raise up the former devastations. They will repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. Strangers will stand and pasture your flocks, and foreigners will be the farmers and your vine dressers, and you will be called the priest of the Lord. You will be spoken of as ministers of our God. You will eat the wealth of the nations, and in their riches you will boast. Instead of shame, you will have a double portion." Let me read this part again in the Message Bible. It says, "The Spirit of God, the Master, is on me because God anointed me." My sweet friend, He's anointed you too. Is this good? "Yes, He has sent me to preach good news to the poor, heal the brokenhearted, announce freedom to all captives, pardon all prisoners. God sent me to announce the year of His grace, a celebration of God's destruction of our enemies, and to comfort all who mourn, to care for all the needs of all who mourn in Zion, to give them bouquets of roses instead of ashes, messages of joy instead of the news of doom, a praising heart instead of a languid spirit. Rename them oaks of righteousness planted by God to display His glory. They will rebuild the old ruins, raise a new city out of the wreckage. They'll start over on the ruined cities, take the rubble left behind and make it new. You'll hire outsiders to herd your flocks and foreigners to work your fields, but you will have the title priest of God, honored as ministers of our God. You will feast on the bounty of nations. You will bask in their glory. Because you got a double dose of trouble and more than your share of contempt. Your inheritance in the land will be doubled and your joy will go on forever. Because I, God, love fair dealing and I hate thievery and crime. See, he hates what the devil's doing. I will pay your wages on time and in full and establish my eternal covenant with you. Your descendants will become well known all over. Your children in foreign countries will be recognized at once as people that I have blessed. I will sing for joy in God, explode in praise from the deep in my soul. He dressed me up in a suit of salvation. He's outfitted me in a robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom who puts on a tuxedo, a bride, a jeweled tiara. For as the Lord bursts with spring wildflowers, as a garden cascades with blossoms, so the Master God brings righteousness into full bloom and puts praise on display before the nations. Oh, sweet friends, we are called. We are called to rescue the captives, to set the captives free. And my sweet friend, can I challenge you to don your beret? Today's the day to fight the good fight. Today is the day where we step up to that call, we set guard, we don't stop, we stay strong, and we set captives free. If they're in our home, we fight the devil, knowing that he is on a leash, he is defeated, and we step up to who we are. We get up and we fight the good fight in our home, and then, I want to tell you, then we don't stop there. We get out there and team up with one another. To fight the good fight. To bring freedom to all captives. This passage is my passage, my call. This passage is also your passage, your call. My sweet friend, today's the day to don your beret and to fight the good fight. Set those captives free. And then finally, take ground from the enemy. Oh yeah. You know, growing up, I remember hearing all about the battles in the scripture. I remember reading books and studying about the medieval times and hearing about how different people went out and took ground from their enemies. And you guys, I remember thinking, well, couldn't they just be happy with what they had? But today, can I tell you, we can't just be happy with just what we've got. The enemy, he wants to take what we've got. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy what we have. And today, he's got a lot of ground that's not his. It's ground he's gotten for generations before us. And today, can I just issue the call to fight the good fight? You take everything God has given you. You know, you look in Scripture and you see that the Israelites were given the promised land. They didn't just get it. They had to fight the giants. They had to fight the enemies time and time again. They had to take it from the enemy. It wasn't just something that they could just walk in and they could move in and they could just comfortably get it, live in it. And they didn't have to fight for it. They had to fight for it. My sweet friend, Christ has paid the price for you to have everything that he designed from the foundation of the earth. But it's going to take you stepping out and fighting that good fight and taking that ground back from the enemy. He's had it for generations and generations. It's not his. It's what God's given you as your inheritance. Today, I want to ask you, will you step up to that call? Will you dare to take that ground from the enemy? Will you fight that good fight? That's the call. I pray that today you will answer to this call. You don't have time to waste. It's not for you to put off. This is not just another message where you go, oh, now I feel like I've got, you know, I feel excited. I feel inspired. I want to see you equipped to step out there and to get busy fighting the good fight. I want to see you resisting the enemy so he runs, he flees, he gets his sights off of your castle right now. I want to see you build your home in such a way that you fortify and you prepare for the enemy's assaults. I want to see you being on guard and daring to protect your home. And I mean overprotect your home, if that's possible. And I want to see you fight that good fight. Not quitting, not stepping back, but staying strong, ready for battle, staying ready for battle, staying strong, keeping on, keeping on. And even taking that out to our culture. Will you do it? Will you step up to that call? Let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this message. And Lord, I thank you so much for this entire series. Lord, our castles are under fire. I guess the picture I have, Lord, is that there are an awful lot of castles that are a smoking mess of rubble. And God, today, I just pray that you will move in our hearts, that we won't settle for that, that we won't settle for being dragged into the enemy's camp captive, that we won't allow our children to live for generations in the rubbish. God, some of us, our inheritance was just a mess. We had nothing but baggage that was nothing but poison and mess. And God, today, I beg you to move upon our hearts and not let us settle for this any longer. Not let the enemy ransack us. Not let him taunt us and keep us captive. Lord, I pray that each and every family represented here will no longer settle for this. But Lord, that we will rise up, that we will build our homes, that we will fortify our homes, that we will set guard about our homes, and we will dare to fight for our homes. They're worth it, Lord. I know we may not see all you've got, but God, you've got such beauty on the horizon. You want so much for our homes and our families. So God, will you begin by working in us? Lord, help us to learn from you how to rebuild from rubbish, how to set the captives free, how to build our home, how to fortify, how to guard our home, and of course, how to fight the good fight. God, I thank you so much. I know that we really have just got started on this topic. So God, can you be the teacher who teaches us as we go on? God, I thank you that you continue to teach us. That you don't leave us trying to figure all this out on our own. God, help us to dig into your word so that we can be prepared to fight the good fight. Oh, Lord, I thank you so much. I pray you bless each and every home, each and every family represented here. And I pray, Lord, that you are glorified and you are honored. We praise and we lift you high. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you so much for this series and for joining me for this series. You guys, I love you and I pray God's richest blessings upon you. And I'll see you next month. Bye-bye.